Okay, in this week's parasha's bow is the parasha of Tefillin. Kadesh li kol b'chor, peter kol rechem b'vnei Yisrael. It's the last aliyah of the Torah of this week's parasha, parasha's bow. Right before Yitzias Mitzrayim, right before Yitzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Klal Yisrael mitzvah of Tefillin. Now, very often in this shaykh, I used to use more often this incredible set of svarim called Oitzer Piloys. Oitzer Piloys by Rav Zicherman. He's a Munkacher. Munkacher, Zev Wolf Zicherman. He wrote 5 volumes titled Oitzer Piloys. Very interesting things that are off the beaten track on the parasha. It's written very, very well. Every single source is he has a very elaborate bio of the mechaber of the source. Yeah, of course, the American. Who else? He's a munkacha. I think he's a very big gavir, a very wealthy person, and he put out stuff. He had a grandson that got his bar mitzvah. And in honor of his grandson's bar mitzvah, he compiled everything that he had from all of his chalokim, and he probably added new things as well, put out a separate volume just on in Yoni Bar Mitzvah called Oitzer Piloys HaTorah, same cover, different color, but this is small, it's pretty thin, only about tefillin, only about in Yoni Bar Mitzvah and tefillin, a collection of some very interesting, unusual, out off the beaten track in Yonim that relate to the mitzvah of tefillin. So let me share with you some things that caught my attention. I'll try to go through it as quickly as we can so we can cover some more grammar. Now, some of these things are very esoteric, they're beyond my understanding, so we're not going to go into those things. But let's try to focus on things that are just more basic, and maybe it'll be a review. And maybe there'll be some chidushim. Okay, listen. I'm skipping a lot of the really esoteric stuff. Just talking about the more basic things. We all are aware that on our tefillin, we have on I think it's on the left side, we have it's stitched shut. There are 12 different stitches which tie our tefillin together, and the stitches are done with sinew, but then there is one of the holes that we stitched the tefillin together. We have here, there's a small amount of hair coming out from an egel, the tail of a calf. Now this hair is really used to wrap the parashios inside of the tefillin, the 4 parashios in the tefillin shel roish, each one after the parasha is folded in a very unique way, and then it is wrapped with a piece of parchment. And that piece of parchment is tied with hair, the hair of the tail of an egel, of a calf, a baby cow, basically. And it's wrapped around. And then on the last parsha, the end of the hair is inserted. It comes through the batim, the bias. And when you look at your tefillin carefully, you will notice that there is some hair extending on the side of the tefillin, the front. That's machlis between the second. So over the parasha, the parasha of the Hoya in Shema, the parasha of Shema. I don't remember anymore. But there, you have here that is tied around the parchment and then extends forward. Now this is halacha l'moshe miSinai. That there should be some hair coming out of that hole on the front of the tefillin, which again originates by being tied around one of the parashios, and then it comes out in that hole. It's halacha l'moshe miSinai. And the truth is, the halacha l'moshe miSinai only demands that there should be some type of hair of any animal. It has to be a kosher animal, mina mutar b'ficha, and you extend it through that area. However, the minhag Yisrael is to use for this purpose specifically the hair of a calf. Why is that so? So there's the Kabbalistic reason, which is, some people into this, they know, they'll tell you right away, the Sitra Achra. You have to give the Satan a gift. Okay, this is This is Kabbalistic stuff. It's not up my alley. It's like they say this by Mayim Achroinim. Why do we have to have Mayim Achroinim today? We don't. The Soyer HaMishlech, the Satan is, you're bribing the Satan. I have no idea what this is about. This is the Kabbalistic, this was very popular. We Mayim Acharoinim. Why do we wash our Acharoinim small amount? You give a bribe to the Satan, you know, as you satisfy him. Maybe there is some logic behind this, some lesser, there's a moral lesson in Achinami, but there's a Kabbalistic 99% of most people, when they talk about these type of things, they look the other way and they say this is Alpi Kabbalah. We have really no understanding of what this is about. This is the halacha. You have to wash Mayim Achroinim, even though today there's no Melech Sedoimis, there is no danger. Still, we wash Mayim Achroinim because we want to give a gift to the Satan. He should leave us alone. Here, take this for you. We'll wash our hands and leave us alone. Likewise, the tefillin is the hair of the egel. It comes out on the front. Leave us alone. Okay, this is holy stuff. This is over my pay grade. It's on the Sinai Yoni Kabbalah. However, the Kesef Mishneh, the Beis Yosef, the one who wrote the Shulchan Aruch, says very simple. You don't need to go to Kabbalah. This here is a reminder of the Chei To Egel. Whenever we look at our tefillin and we see, it's just a very simple, practical reminder. Now we have a mitzvah, one of the sheish zichirois is to remember Eis Asher Hiktzavta Es Hashem Elokecha B'chayrev. We don't say this. Yeah, there are sheish, what? Sorry? I can't hear what you're saying.
By Midbar
in the desert. Okay, by Midbar. One of the Sheish, in essence, what he's saying over here is every single day we are Makayim, the mitzvah of the Sheish Zechirois, by wearing tefillin. When you put on the tefillin and you look at that tefillin and you see that Seor coming forward, you were Makai and you see it, oh, that's the hair of the Egel. You now were Makayim, the mitzvah, the Araisa of Zochor Eis Asher Ktzavtes Hashem Elokecha Bamidbar. There are sheish zichirois we're supposed to remember every single day. Okay, Yitzias Mitzrayim. Okay, we'll go through the whole list. And here is a very easy way to be mekayim that mitzvah just by looking at it every single day. That is a chiddush to me, and it's just something very interesting. Okay, let's now go to another idea. Tefillin today are very expensive. Okay, Mr. Mrillis just told me he bought for his grandson tefillin. He paid, what, $1,500? $1,150. But you paid more. That's way
cheap.
He paid, I think. The cheapest one they had.
That's cheap. Normally it's $1,150, next up is $1,550, and
half
of that goes anyway.
Imagine
you have
the self-serve. Very expensive. This is something which is very troublesome. It's not supposed to be expensive. The Gemara says that tefillin, in fact, Chazal say that the Chazal, they fasted, the Anshei Knesset Hagdolah, they fasted 24 taniyos. Okay, it's Gemara Masechta Pesachim. Pesachim Daf Nun, Chof Dalid taniyos Yoshvu Anshei Knesset Hagdolah Al Koisvei Sfarim Utfilnu Mezuzos Shelo Yis Ashru. They should not get rich. Pella.
That's why they come around collecting in the shul.
They were mespalel 24 fasts.
Yeah, they didn't eat so they could save up money to buy the tefillin. Yeah.
24 fasts is a shocking thing that the people who have expertise in writing tefillin, stam, should be poor. If here's the thing, people go to the Gedolei Yisrael brachas to be rich. And here the Gedolei Yisrael, they're conspiring against them. they're fasting that they should be poor. Unbelievable. To fast, to daven, to fast, that someone should be poor. A segment of society should be poor. Why? So they say, because if they would get rich from riding stam, they would retire early. Because if they go, they'll write a Sefer Torah, and they'll get an enormous amount of money. Okay, I'm retiring. I'm going to go buy a summer home. I don't have time to write so much. And then all the people who need tefillin, mezuzos, no one's going to be available. People are not going to, because the sofer, once he writes a few pairs of tefillin, a few mezuzos, he has enough money to live for the rest of his life, and he buys an apartment here, an apartment there, and he goes to Koilo, and he does this, he does that, and he's busy with his new car, and I don't got time to write for you, for your grandson, another pair of tefillin. I write once a year, two pairs of tefillin a year. Leave me alone. And then there's going to be a massive shortage in Klal Yisrael for tefillin and mezuzah. So therefore they were mispalel, that they should not receive, no one should be willing to pay them a significant amount of money, and they'll always need more money, more money, more money. So they'll have to work very, very hard, and they'll work 24/7 producing tefillin, mezuzahs, and sefer Torah for Klal Yisrael. Now, this is a shocking thing. It is really, really beyond comprehension to understand this. And also, what's very shocking is that today, tefillin are extremely expensive. We are doing something wrong. We are doing something. I remember once Rav Herschel Schachter speak, he said, the Chazal said the reason why you're not allowed to have cholov, a pas palter, pas akum, pas akum, is because pas akum leads to intermarriage. That's what it says in the Gemara. The reason why Chazal enacted that a Jew is not allowed to eat the bread that was baked by a non-Jew, even though it's kosher. All the ingredients are 100% kosher. You're not allowed to eat bread that was baked by a Gentile, even though you're absolutely certain that the ingredients are the best hechsher and the oven is kosher and there's no issue whatsoever. Because by eating the bread of a non-Jew, it will lead to intermarriage. So Rav Herschel Shefi once said, you know, in America, the intermarriage rate is about 70-80%. And today, we've certified all the breads as basically not being pas akum. We've made them into pas palter. So we've solved the problem. No one today is eating anymore, pretty much, pas akum. We're all eating today. All Jews today, by and large, even the irreligious Jews are eating, by and large, they're eating pas palter. It's not. So if that's the case, the intermarriage should be very low. But it's not. Intermarriage is 80%. So we're doing something wrong. I heard him say this. We're doing something wrong. The OU certifies an enormous amount of bread in this country to be kosher. A lot of breads are, almost all breads today in the United States are kosher. A lot of breads are kosher. What does it mean? What do you mean they're kosher? They're not, stop, it's no longer, the ingredients are kosher. And besides the ingredients being kosher, the Jews turn on the ovens, so it's not going to be, it's not called pas akum, it's pas palter. So that means we should have solved, by doing that, the intermarriage problem, because Chazal said that eating pas akum leads to intermarriage. So by making the bread not pas akum and making it pas palter, it should solve. But we're doing something wrong if the intermarriage rate in America is sky high. So likewise, yeah.
Shlomo Zalman said that it had to do with the Bishul Yisrael.
I'm sorry, say it again?
Bishul. Shlomo Zalman said the incompatible Bishul Yisrael. That there were a lot of things in America that there were, it wasn't Bishul Yisrael. People ate it.
Okay, whatever. Whatever it means.
Okay. It's another issue.
Right, there's another issue. There's Bishul Akum, and there is also Pas Akum. Right? This is another issue, right? There are other reasons for intermarriage. I mean, if you're not religious, I mean, what do you expect? Okay, but he was not saying it. He was saying this as like, you know, tongue in cheek. He's saying, you know, something is wrong here. You know, we have today, the kashrus is pretty good today. And yet, what Chazal promised us, that if we stay away from non-kosher, we wouldn't have intermarriage, obviously we're still doing something wrong. So I'm just coming to add to that. My two cents is, Chazal tell us, is that tefillin are supposed to be very, very cheap. Stam is supposed to be very, very cheap. It's supposed to be very inexpensive. And today they're not. Today it is really very, very expensive. After COVID, I don't know if you're aware, the prices of stam have skyrocketed beyond belief. There is something really, really wrong. is that to buy a decent mezuzah now, you can't get anything decent for less than $80. 130? The prices have almost doubled. What changed? What changed in the last 2 years that it doubled? You can't blame it on the vaccine. What doubled? What? On the eggs. On the eggs. What double? Why are the prices of Stam doubled? We're doing...
I saw this cipher the other day. It told me that many of the, unfortunately due to COVID, many of the sofrim are writing Sifrei Torah. People have Sifrei Torah written. So sofrim are dedicating most of their time to writing Sifrei Torah.
I heard that. There's something wrong with... I heard that. That's what they've been saying for 2 years. That. Every person who died is such a gavir. Everyone who died is a millionaire, and they want a Sefer Torah written for the person who passed away. I don't know. I know, unfortunately, a lot of people who passed away in COVID, directly because of COVID, no one's writing a Sefer Torah for them. I can list to you 5 people that I know died right off the bat, who died COVID. Mamish died from COVID. Terrible, terrible tragedies. The families don't even have a havamina to write a Sefer Torah for them. So there's so many people out there that they're writing Sefer Torah. There's something not right about that. I know, that's what they've been saying. Whatever it is, we're doing something wrong, because Chazal say that the price of Stam is supposed to be very, very cheap. Okay, another interesting idea to decide just what this means exactly needs a clarification. Chazal talk about Chinuch Habanim. And the words are that when a child becomes of age, when the child becomes of age, a parent is obligated to be mechanech. So let me read the words of Chazal. It's a Gemara Masechta Sukkah. Tanur Rabbanan. Tanur, what?
Yesterday with
Yeretz, who started the chinuch? I don't remember. I don't remember. Let's see. Tanur Rabbanan. Katan. Hayoidea Linanea. A katan who knows how to shake a lulav. Chayiv belulav. He's obligated to shake a lulav. Lehisatef, a child who knows how to wear a talis. Chayiv betzitzis. Lishmar tefillin, a child who's old enough who knows how to guard with sanctity his tefillin. Oviv, his father, loikeach loy tefillin, acquires, purchases for him tefillin. Yoidea ledaber, oviv loimdoi Torah, his father teaches him Torah, ukriyashma. So the Mepharshim, they pick up on this, and the Bach picks up on this and says something very unusual about this Maimon Chazal. When it comes to a lulav and tzitzis and learning Torah, it says the father, the child does it. When it comes to tefillin, it says that his father has to buy for him tefillin. The only mention of money, of purchasing, is only by tefillin. Why is it inconsistent? It should say, a child knows how to wear tzitzis, the father should go to the store and purchase a talis katan. The child knows how to shake a lulav, the father should go to the store and buy a lulav for his child. The child knows how to learn, the father should enroll him in a school and pay tuition, hire a rebbe to teach his child Torah. It doesn't say that. If the kid knows how to shake a lulav, he should shake it. He tzitzis, he should wear them. Torah, someone should teach him. You know, everything costs money. Nothing is for free. That's understood. Of course, it's understood. You brought a person into the world. If you're a father, it is your responsibility to pay for his education. You know, that's the way it goes. Being an adult, having a child means, you know, I have a baby and let the government take care of him. That's not the way it works. You bring a child in this world, you have a responsibility. Okay, you have a responsibility to that child. So why is it that when it comes to tefillin only, does it say the father has to purchase a tefillin? It's the only only one of all of the mitzvahs where we make mention of the father purchasing. So he says on the whole shtickl Torah, which I'm not going to go into, but it would seem to indicate just the opposite, that already in the time of Chazal it was very expensive. I'll give you an example. Today, when a child is of age to wear his talis katan, did you ever hear a grandparent come into the morning call and say, you know what I did today? I bought my grandson a talis katan. I went and I spent $20 to buy him a talis katan. Did you ever hear someone walk and say, you know, my grandson, I went and I spent $50, $30, $20 to buy him. Of course the mitzvah is on the boy. It's irrelevant. We're talking about chinuch. Let's not get into the technical details. Did you ever hear someone, a grandfather, walk into shul by shachas? You know, today I went to the store and I bought him a talis katan. I bought for my grandson a lulav. A lulav I spent on a chinuch set $30, $40, $50. I'm paying the tuition a little bit different. No one wants to admit that they're paying the tuition also. But no one's going to want to say, oh, I went and I bought him a sitter. Today he's a sitter, he's learning how to daven, so I bought him a... You never heard this. Why? Because, you know, a sitter costs $20. Talis katan costs $20. A little of an asterisk for a kid, you go buy 5 minutes for Yontif, you can go buy off the street for $20. You let the parents buy the kid. What am I? I'm the grandfather. I'm retired. Mm-hmm. The parents should go buy the kid the talis katan. I'll come to the party. Let him the kid. You know, no one's bragging. No grandparent is bragging that he bought his kid a lollipop. It costs money, yeah, but it's not an amount of money which you have to go complain about. But every day you walk into shul and you hear people, you know, I'm a good grandparent. I'm paying for the tefillin. You heard it 100 times. I'm going to be paying $2,000 for the tefillin. I bought him tefillin. I took him to the sofer. Oh, big deal. Because parents can't afford to pay $2,000. They're drowning in debt. So I went and I paid for the tefillin. I bought the tefillin, $2,000 tefillin. $1,000 tefillin. It's, yeah.
I don't think the tefillin is important. When we were raising our kids, we made sure we had Jewish music on when we were cleaning the house. We made sure that we never taught our kids to answer the phone and say, tell them we're not there. I think what you have to pay for is a Jewish lifestyle.
Okay.
That you do every week, 52 times a week during the year, so that, because I'm thinking to myself, you know, we're not Jewish, but my kids, Stam, are Baruch Hashem, they all married Yidden, they all are Shomer Shabbos, and what we paid for were things that you needed for during the week. The music for cleaning up. The music to listen to when it's during the week. The siddurim that you needed that came from your parents. The fact that your parents went with you to shul. I think you need to figure out what adds to your lifestyle.
Absolutely. Okay, but I'm trying to point out that we have over here what it says in Chazal, that the Anshei Knesset HaGadol was mispalel 24 taniyos, observed 24 that the soifim should be poor, which means that the price of tefillin and mezuzos and sifritos should be inexpensive. Yet we find today that it's very expensive. And I'm trying to point out that this... And yet I want to point out that it seems that it was expensive then also. And I want to suggest that nothing has changed. It was expensive even in the time of Chazal, because this Maimer Chazal, when it comes to all of the other mitzvahs, they don't mention money. They say the kid is now knows how to do lulav. He has to have a lulav. Yeah. How come it's only when it comes to tefillin do Chazal go out of their way and they say the father must buy the kid a pair of tefillin? It must be because this is a big deal. When it comes to all of the other things, okay, so I'll find the money to go buy a talis katan and to do all these things. Tefillin? You know, let them all share one pair of tefillin. Go to school, they'll share one pair of tefillin, and they'll observe the mitzvah of tefillin. No, the Gemara says you have to purchase him his own pair of tefillin. And the Chazal are making a point in telling us this is a major expense, we acknowledge it's a major expense, and this is what it means to be a parent. You have to go and take care of your children just like you take care of all other matters of their education, of their clothing, and other accommodations that are expensive. In the world of Ruchnius, this is an expense that is significant and chayiv lekech. It's the only thing that in this Chazal that mentions numerous things, it is the only one where Chazal go out of their way to acknowledge that there's a major expense and encouraged people, don't complain. Be happy you have a child. Hashem gave you this blessing and this opportunity to make that expense. So I'm just trying to say that you see already in the time of Chazal, nothing has changed. It is lekeach leitfilin. There is a major expense associated, and Baruch Hashem, fortunate are those people that have the opportunity and have the children, and it's a tremendous chus. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, next idea. I'm going to skip some things over here because I want to... Here, maybe after. I want to try to cover some ground, so maybe we'll do afterwards. Okay. Okay, now, this is something which is more Kabbalistic, but I'll mention anyway. We touched upon this yesterday. We have a halacha. Everyone knows the halacha is that there's a special order in how you put on your tefillin. You first put on the tefillin shel yad, and then you put on the tefillin shel rosh. It's a drasha. It's the order of the pasuk. Ukeshar tam leois al yodecha, v'hayu letoytofois bein einecha. First, the Torah says first you put on the tefillin shel yad, and then it says you put on the tefillin shel. You put on the tefillin shel rosh. In addition, I think the Gemara makes a drasha. It says v'hayu. V'hayu is b'loshan rabim. V'hayu letoytofois bein einecha. That whenever you have the tefillin shel rosh upon you, v'hayu, you should also have upon you the tefillin shel yad. Never should there be a moment in time where you only have the tefillin shel rosh and you don't have upon you the tefillin shel yad. And what is the nafka mina between the first source and the second source? Again, the first source is the order of the pasuk. The order is first ukeshartom le'ois al yodecha. And then v'hayu letoytofos beinecha. The second drash is more powerful. V'hayu, whenever the tefillin shel rosh is upon your head, you better make sure that the tefillin shel yad are also there. Therefore, put on the tefillin shel yad first, so that when you put on the tefillin shel rosh, when you're wearing the tefillin shel yad will also be upon you. What would be a nafgamina between the first source and the second source? The order of taking off your tefillin. If you focus only on the order, okay, that's when you put the tefillin on. First the shel yad, then the shel rosh. When it comes to take off, take it off, whatever order you want, who cares? Take off the shel yad and then take off the shel rosh. Why should it make a difference which order you do when you take it off? However, whatever you're more comfortable, you'll take off when you go to sleep at night. So what do you take off first, your shirt or your pants? I don't know, whatever you do, whatever you want to go to. Is there a halacha? Okay, there's a halacha and how you take off your shoes. Chazal give you a halacha of how you take off your shoes. But is there any halacha of what are you supposed to remove first, your shirt or your pants? I'm not aware. Your socks, is there a hakpada, which one of your socks? The only halacha in Shulchan Aruch is the order of your shoes. You put on the right shoe, the left shoe, you tie the shoelace of the left shoe, and then you tie the shoelace of the right shoe. When it comes to all of the garments, is there a hakpada? Maybe you'll show me a Kabbalistic, yeah, these are Kabbalistic in Yonah, but these are not halacha. In shoes, it's halacha. Shoes is a halacha of how to put on your shoes. That's because shoes are different. Whatever, that's not going with that. But when it comes to clothing, do whatever you want. Leave me alone. Do whatever you want. When it comes to tefillin, is there a hakpada of what should you put on first? Well, putting on, we know. We have a drash. First, shal yad, shal rosh. But what about taking off? So we do know that the halach is, there is a hakpada. There is a hakpada. You take off the shal rosh first, and then you take off the shal yad. Why? Because of the second drash, the hayu. Whenever you have upon you the tefillin shal rosh, you should have upon you also v'hayu. It's b'loshoin rabim. If you're wearing the tefillin shel rosh, you must have a foundation of the tefillin shel yad. This is the pshutoy shel mikra. This is halacha, the oilam of halacha. Now let me tell you something esoteric in Kabbalah, which I told you we actually discussed it. I'm not into this at all. Don't get me wrong. Just I find it's very interesting. Is we know that the Tefillin Shel Yad and the Tefillin Shel Rosh together make up Hashem's name. Shin, the letter Dalid, the letter Yud. The Tefillin Shel Rosh is the Shin. The Kesher of the Tefillin Shel Rosh is the Dalid. And the Kesher of the Tefillin Shel Yad is the Yud, which spell out the name of Hashem, Shakai. Shakai, fine, very good. So the Shel Rosh, how many letters of Hashem's name does it provide? The letter Shin, two letters, two-thirds. The letter Shin, which is embossed onto the Tefillin Shel Rosh, and the Kesher, which is a Dalet. How many letters does the Tefillin Shel Yad provide? One letter, the letter Yud. So if we were mystics, we all know that the letter Shin Dalet is a shade.
What do you do? You get the
Dalet
on the
hand? No. That's Kabbalistic. You have a Yud. The Kesher Shel Tefillin is a Yud. Don't tell me with the Yad you make a Shin and a Dalet. Yeah. This is not, that's not required. These are in Yonim. These are in Yonim. Halacha, you wrap it around your finger one time and you're done. Okay, so we embellish, we wrap three times, we make a shin, a dal, a yud. Let's talk Chazal. Chazal say on the Tefillin Shel Rosh is a shin. The Kesher Shel Rosh is a dalet. The Kesher Shel Yad. The Kesher Shel Yad is in the tzura of a yud. And it has to be connected to the leif. Finished. Everything else is icing on the cake. That's not part of the Gemara. These are later in Yonim. These are Minhagim. V'chulu v'chulu. If we were mystics, we all know, we're not into these type of things, but the people that are very holy people, they're very into demons, shadim. Ad kidei kach, there are many people, including my rabbi, he will not say the word shade. He will not say, I'll never ever catch him saying, he's very into Kabbalah in Yonim, very heavily steeped in these in Yonim, and he will never ever say the word shade. He always says, a shin dalet. Because demoned, a shade, a window shade. He's a very normal, down-to-earth person, my rabbi, in the extreme. But he's very heavily steeped in these inyanim. When he talks in learning and he talks about these things, he says the shin dalet, a shin dalet. And I've heard other people also, it's a Kabbalistic concept. So therefore they say as follows, if you take off the shel yad, what do you have on you? What do you have on your body? You have a shade. You have a shin and a dalet. Oh, you don't want to be caught with a shin dalet. Memela is a hakpada, never to wear the tefillin shel roish without the tefillin shel yad, because it's a sakana. It's a sakana. You only have the two-thirds of Hashem's name, only the shin and the dalet, and those two letters are very dangerous. Okay, I thought that was cute. I'm not making this up. Who says this? This is the Teferes Shmuel. Who is the Teferes Shmuel? The Teferes Shmuel, Hagoyin of Shmuel, Kidnover Zatzal. Born Vilna, Shnashin Ayin Dalid. All right, whatever this is. He goes, tells you exactly who he is over here. Kedarka. Oh, I just thought that was very interesting. Okay, next. Interesting Shaila. Listen to this fascinating Shaila. A person went and he told the Sofer, I want you to make for me a pair of tefillin. Mayor, you're going to like the Shaila. I want you to go to a Batim Macher. And before you put the parashos in the Batim and you close up the Batim, I want you to write on the inside of the leather of the Batim, I want you to write my name. Ploini ben Ploini lehatzlocha. Is there anything wrong with that? What? What am I doing? It's no parchment. I have my batim. I have the parashios. I just want you to write on the inside of the tefillin, on the leather, on the. No one's gonna ever see it. Maybe we'll say it's a good idea. You should put your name in case it gets lost. Okay, that's another shaila. So putting your name, let's talk something interesting. Are you allowed today? People, the tefillin costs a lot of money. $2,000, $3,000, $10,000, whatever it is, I want to put inside the batim a little teeny car, a little teeny scrap of paper with my name and my telephone number, just in case it gets lost and someone opens up the batim. They open up the batim to check, they'll discover my name, my telephone number, they'll call me up, I found your tefillin. Here they are. Okay, people put their people that all bar Yoshino today, the standard to all bar mitzvah boys. I don't know if you realize this, almost all bar mitzvah boys, when they bar them their zekel today, they write their name on top, and on the back, phone number. They actually, you know, the same machine that writes the name, they pay a few dollars, very extremely common. They stitch, they embroider on the back of the tefillin bag the telephone number of their parents. Not likely going to change the number. People have the number for decades already. People are not likely to. They have a telephone number because, unfortunately, a 13-year-old boy has a tendency to forget something. It costs $2,000, a lot of money. Kids lose their children all the time, and the Hebrew name. Everyone has the same Hebrew name. You always see these WhatsApp posts. Oh, someone lost their children. Does anyone know who this person is? So they have a telephone number. So they embroider into the back of the tefillin bag the telephone number. My sister asked me to do this to prepare the tefillin for my nephew. So and I didn't, and I told the guy in the store on the back, put the telephone. So he goes, of course, we do this for everyone. Of course we're embroidered. He told me it's a standard procedure today when you go to a Judaica store and you order the tefillin bag, they embroider on the back of the tefillin bag a telephone number. In case it gets lost, you dial the number, you can right away return the tefillin. Okay, Dvarim Pshutim. So let's go to the next step. Can you put a little piece of paper inside the tefillin? Inside the tefillin, so that let's, because you know, the bag is the bag. Let's say the tefillin themselves get lost. Someone takes the tefillin out. So it'll wind up one day by a cipher. He'll open it up, and inside he'll see a little piece of paper, and it says the person's name and his telephone number. Are you allowed to do that? Absolutely not. You do that, the tefillin are puzzle. Puzzle. What?
Why would you want
to? What?
Sense to put it on the outside because most people would find it zoned out.
So you want to etch it on the you can ask that question also. So the case over the Shiloh was you don't want to go do it because that'd be too strange. You never saw anyone etch, tattoo into their tefillin their name and telephone number. Why not? Why talk it? Why on the bottom of your tefillin, on the bottom of the part that you put on your head, why can you like etch with a fine needle, with a very, very fine needle, etch a telephone number and your name? So in case it gets lost, what?
No, they don't.
What they did was, I actually did this. My father's oldest inventor, many in the 80s, got these kits and would make pinholes, teeny, teeny little pinholes coordinated on a chart. Like they give you, it's like a chart, like five pinholes arranged in a certain pattern. And on the bottom, on the very, very bottom of the parchment, the very, very bottom, every certain number of ureos. So in case it's stolen, they can feel the pinholes and whatever they do to figure out the pattern, and they can look it up in a database and they can know who the owner is. It was a technique. It had the haskam of all the gedolei Yisrael that it's permitted. There's absolutely no ink, and the holes are microscopic. It's this mamish, the size of a teeny little pin. Like you have a guide, which has a couple of things. You just put a little along the very bottom of the parchment, and you take a little pin and you pierce it four or five times according to the card they give you, and it identifies that this Sefer Torah belongs to this shul. And this was that. I don't hear people doing it today anymore. Today you don't need to do it anymore today because today the reason because today the technology whenever a Sefer Torah is checked. Every Sefer Torah today is checked by the computer. And the computer, they register the handwriting of the Sefer Torah with the Sefer. So today, basically, any Sefer Torah, you go into any shul and you take a photocopy of the Sefer Torah, or they do Hagbah, take a picture, and send that picture to Vad Mishmeristam. They're not the only ones who check the Sefer Torah today, but they all can do it. You send it to Vad Mishmeristam and say, look, I took the picture when they did Hagbah. I did Hagbah, I took a photo. They can take what you send them, and they can tell you, the computer will tell you in a second, who is the cipher. They will tell you, yeah, they're all registered. If it's not Vamish or something, they'll go to the other registries. There are three of them. There are three main companies that do this today. Go to all three. Here, I took a photocopy. I took a photocopy of the Sefer Torah. They put it into the computer, and in a second, they'll tell you the name of the cipher and his address. And you'll ask, so who bought your Sefer Torah? And they can go track down how many Sefer Torah the Sefer Torah cipher write. And you can track down, so today it's not even necessary because with the technology of having it checked by the computer can instantly recognize the unique characteristics of every single person's handwriting, and they can track down the Sefer Torah in a second. So this technique that they did with the pins years ago was not necessary. They have more advanced ways of doing this without even touching the parchment. But in any event, a person asked a shaila, so if a person would put into the parshios a little teeny tzettel, if this, you'd find these tefillin, please return it. Why not? There's enough room inside to put a little teeny blue piece of paper in before you stitch this. It is puzzle. You're not allowed to add into the tefillin anything other than what Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai tells us to do by adding its yitur and its puzzle. Let's say you're not adding any paper. You want to go and just etch into with a very fine needle into the fold, it's very rough material inside. Or you want to use some ink and just, you know, to write your name on the inside of the tefillin, who you, your name, your telephone number. Or in this case, the person was a little bit more devious. He wanted a segula, Pliny ben Pliny lehatzlacha. So the answer basically is, I don't know if it's mamish puzzle, but it is keneged kol ha-Torah kula to do something like this. Keneged kol ha-Torah kula. The tefillin are supposed to be pure. Don't add a segula. What, the tefillin themselves is not a big enough segula for you? Lahatzlacha, it's not enough, a big enough segula that you have a Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad and you're doing Hashem's Ratzon. A person who asks such a shayla is totally, totally missing the point of tefillin, the kedush of tefillin. Now, I'm extrapolating, well, what about I'm not doing that. I just want identification. These tefillin cost an enormous amount of money. I spent on these tefillin $10,000. I want to make sure I get it back in case it gets lost. Someone take it out of the bag. So in case one day someone not nice will steal and try to sell it, and it'll end up in someone else's possession, eventually we'll have a check by a cipher. So inside, the cipher will see my name and my telephone number. I'm not doing it because I want to go and I want hatzlacha. I want to make it into a kameya, an amulet. And I want chas v'shalom. I'm doing it for security. It's incorrect. You don't do that. Tefillin are pure. You don't do this. What's the solution? They're not good tefillin. There are too many tefillin out there to scan. Sefer Torah costs $50,000. They'll scan Sefer Torah. The tefillin. The system is not set up. When you bring your tefillin to get checked, they're going to scan. They don't. It costs a lot of money. It's very tedious to scan tefillin. They do it once. When they write the tefillin, they scan it, and they check for spelling, and they check for any red flags, and that's it. You only check your tefillin by computer once. It's ridiculous to check it more than once. Once it's been checked by computer once, the spelling is correct. And anything that it's obviously wrong, the computer will pick up. Then when you check it later on, you have to have a person check that nothing rubbed out and nothing went wrong. You're only going to check it once. Okay, let's go to another idea. Another idea about gold tefillin. He says here a tremendous chiddush. The Gemara says, beferish in the Gemara, that it's sipa zahav pasul. If you cover your tefillin in gold, the tefillin are pasul. Tzipa zahav, the gold has min hamutar b'ficha, the tefillin is supposed to be black, perfectly black, and even though you think you're making it nice by putting gold, by covering the tefillin with gold, the tefillin are posel. There was a beferish gemara, a mesechta menachos, tzipa zahav is posel. He writes here an incredible chiddush. Never heard this one. We do know there is a problem with this, because it says in the Megillas Esther, Mordechai yatsa melefnei ha-melech, b'levush malchus techeles chavat teres zohov gedoyla. Targum yoynesan ben uziel. What does it mean, a crown, a teres zohov gedoyla? Mordechai wore tefillin, gold tefillin. Gold tefillin. That's what it says in the Targum yoynesan ben uziel. Again, it says he wore a crown of gold. So besides it meaning simply a crown of gold means he wore a traditional mikra that he wore a gold crown. that Achashverosh gave him honor and gave him a crown to wear of gold, but the Targum Yonis of Nazilians, he wore in public gold tefillin. Hayetachin, Mordechai wore gold tefillin. He says Beferish in the Gemara, Tzibon Zahav is possible. So I once heard Lamesha answers to this question that if you make the calculation, when did he wear tefillin? It was Chol Hamoed. When Mordechai was paraded in the street, the Mordechai Yatsa, it was a Chol Hamoed. And a Chol Hamoed, you don't wear tefillin, according to many. Okay, that you want, I'm not getting into the controversy now. You don't wear tefillin, Chol Hamoed. So it was Bedafka on Chol Hamoed, when you don't wear tefillin, then you wear gold tefillin. When he was paraded in the street, after...
So maybe he only wore it one day for the Bush Malfus.
No, the Pshutoy Shel Mikra is he wore a gold crown. No. Mordechai Yotza Melefnei HaMelech. That one day. But you're not supposed to wear gold tefillin altogether. Mordechai Yotza Melefnei HaMelech Malchus Techeles V'chur Va'ateres Zohav Gidoyla. A golden crown. Okay, so you're saying an idea. You say he didn't wear L'Shem Mitzvah.
Right.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Okay, that's all part of the answer. He didn't wear L'Shem Mitzvah, and you see such a concept that there's a ceremonial pair of tefillin to wear. You wear a pair of tefillin that's gold, and it's not kosher. You can't make a bracha because it's not kosher. And he wore a gold tefillin. However, and without going over the details, he goes to a lot of sources, and he comes out with an incredible chiddush. I don't know these from all of these svarim that he's citing are all a very esoteric svarim, most people never heard of, and he's very kind here, Rabbi Zicherman, that on the bottom he has very elaborate bios who these people were. These are very, very holy people who he cites. He cites the Sefer Oitzer Yad HaChaim. Who's the Oitzer Yad HaChaim? It's Chibur HaGoyim Rabbi Socher Doiv Babad. Av Bezdin Buska Shebeglitzia. He tells you when he lived, tells you what he did. I don't 99% of these people, I don't know who they are. I trust Rabbi Zichman, the Munkacho, he has very chosh v'askamas. He wouldn't go quote things that are not Oiska Halden. And he quotes him, and he says, he comes out with a tremendous chiddush, that when the Gemara says, Tzipa Zahav is possible, is only on the tefillin shel yad. It's a shocking chiddush. Okay, this is shaloike halacha. No one would dare today wear gold tefillin and make a bracha on them. But he says, Me'ikar hadin, it's only on the tefillin shel yad, v'hayol l'chol l'ois, v'loy l'acherim l'ois. So it's something that is personal. So personal, it has to be regular. But if you are putting on top of the tefillin shel roish a gold covering, on top of the leather, you're plating it with gold, in order lehisnois, to beautify the tefillin, zekeli v'anveyu, it's mutter, and it's a hiddur. And the haraya, it says this in Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. Okay, a shocking thing that there is such a thing that of wearing actually gold tefillin. Don't tell this to the Rebbes. Okay? Some of the Rebbes, they have very nice cases. When you put away your tefillin, you buy a gift item, silver. Does anyone here have a silver tefillin, silver boxes? What?
It gets tarnished.
Then you can go even fancy, get gold boxes. Okay, let's now go to another idea. And this is a beautiful, beautiful idea. This really made an impression upon me. It says in the Pasuk that when it comes to a Sefer Torah, the Atah kisvu lechem es a Sefer as a Shira Hazois. There is a mitzvah de oiraisa to write your own Sefer Torah. And the Rambam elaborates that even if a person has a Sefer Torah b'Yerusha from your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, so what? Every single person has a mitzvah to write their own Sefer Torah. You can have an Aron Kodesh from my Zayde from this side, from my mother, my Zayde from my father, and my two Zaydis going up a generation. You can have an Aron HaKodesh filled with Sifrei Torah from all the generations going back. Very nice. Where's your Sefer Torah? Every person has a mitzvah to write their own Sefer Torah. When it comes to tefillin, it's just the opposite. It's an incredible chiddush, just the opposite. The pride of tefillin is not to have your own tefillin. It's to have the tefillin of your father, to wear the tefillin of your father, or the tefillin of your grandfather, or to wear whatever. And obviously, it's not a practical concept, obviously. Today, a bar mitzvah boy, you know, I remember years ago, not long after my father passed away, and my father, before my father passed away, not that long before he passed away, he had his tefillin refurbished. He had very, very chashuv of tefillin, and he had, and the parshios were very, very expensive, and the batim were also, they were good. They were very good batim, and they were refurbished. They were redone. They were sanded down and sealed. Everything very nice. So then my father Zichron Levracha passed away, and not long after my nephew was becoming bar mitzvah, and the decision in the family was that he should get my father's tefillin. So we brought the tefillin to the sofer, and the sofer says that the parshios are like new.
Wow.
They're not. They weren't new. They were many, many years, but they were kept. My father took very good care of his tefillin. And the parashios, and what about the batim? The batim are very good there. But for bar mitzvah boy, he told me, you buy new batim. They're good, you know, they're very good. They're stark and they're beautiful, the mechuder. But the batim, you know, the batim, today the batim are made with much higher standards. And they've been used for, I don't know how many years, they were maybe 40, 50, I don't know what, 40 years, 30 years, I don't know when my father got new batim, whatever he got new batim, whatever they were. You should get new batim for the bar mitzvah boy, you buy new. You buy new batim. The parashios are very good, we use that. So I was a little bit suspicious, you know, maybe he wants to make money off me. he's trying to, you know, to get business. But after talking to people, I realized he wasn't. I believe he wasn't. And he was saying what's true. A bar mitzvah boy, you buy new batim. You don't take, if you could afford. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, every situation is different, obviously. Bar mitzvah boy, you buy new. That's the way that goes in the Welt. In the Welt, if you have the money, fresh batim. Today, taco, the batim are made, the standards of how they make batim today is really a completely different league compared to how they made batim years ago. The techniques are completely different. No, the batim is a lot of different types of batim. All batim is a business. Only gassas. We're only talking about gassas. We're not talking about dakas. We're only talking about the dakas. Not even going there in the dakas. The gassas. And the batim is a very, very big business. And the common denominator is, it's taka true, they're made today, there's new technology, and there are new standards, they don't have glue anymore. It used to be years ago, all the batim had a lot of glue. Lots of glue went in to keep them all connected together. Today, no one is using glue on the upper portion. They're using, no one would today put glue in today on the top third of the bias.
At mine, they had a lot of problems.
Right, it's a different today. There are different techniques, different standards. There's new technology, and he said the batim are very good. These are mehudarim. But I'm telling you, as a bar mitzvah boy, you spend the money, you buy new. And after being mevarer, he was right. He was. I can't say he's right. Whatever. Everyone to each his own. I don't feel he's just trying to get money from me. He was right, and. So I was saying is today, a bar mitzvah boy, you know, Baruch Hashem, if you could afford, it's fresh, a new pair of tefillin. You're not going to go give a bar mitzvah boy a pair of tefillin from his El Tzeda from 500 years ago. That Akasha, that's not the way it goes. However, there's a difference between practical halacha and theoretical halacha. In the world of the theoretical world of Torah, there's a fundamental difference between a Sefer Torah and Tefillin. Every person, ideally, in an idyllic world, should have his own Sefer Torah, which today obviously is an impossibility. Not every person has a $50,000 to go spend on a Sefer Torah, okay, obviously. But in the ideal world, it's a mitzvah. And every person has to have a pair of tefillin. Okay, you need a pair of tefillin. in concept, in hashkafa, the Sefer Torah that you possess must be yours. You write for yourself your own Sefer Torah. Don't rely upon the Sefer Torah of your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather. The same chelkeinu b'soirosecha. Tefillin, the biggest pride a person can have in tefillin, theoretically, again, this is not practical halacha, it's mamash whole hakdama, not the way we do things today, but theoretically, the biggest pride you can have in your tefillin, I'm wearing my father's tefillin. I'm wearing my grandfather's tefillin. Because tefillin is something that is handed down from generation to generation. Mashal says in the pasuk, "V'hayaki yish'olcha vincha mochar lema mo ha'avoyda ha'zayis lachem." In fact, if you have to learn, I always love this Rashbam. I always go with this Rashbam. This idea fits so perfectly with what the Rashbam says. If you notice, at the end of the parasha, there are two. At the end of the parasha, parasha bo, the parasha of tefillin is repeated twice, Kadesh and V'hayaki v'yacha. All right, so it's repeated twice. That never stopped us, right? Okay, so the drushes and this and that, we don't even think about it. The Rashbam, it bothered the Rashbam to no end. Why is it that the Torah repeats the mitzvah of tefillin in rapid succession? In Parashas Kaddish, it says tefillin, and then there's Parashas V'hoyoki Yiviyach, and Nochamol, V'hoyol L'chol Ois Al Yotcha. So the Rashbam says something that is really amazing, is beyond belief. What the Rashbam says is, the second time that it says tefillin, it's Hashem is not the one that is speaking. The one that is speaking is the father to the child. In the middle of that parasha, the pasuk says that v'hayoki yisholcha vincha mochar lemar mazois v'yamarta elav. You tell your child, this is what you shall tell your child. Tell your child all about Yitzias Mitzrayim, all the miracles that happened, and tell your child to remember this by wearing tefillin every day of his life. The first time it says parasha of tefillin in the parasha of Kadesh, you know who is this? Mi Omar Elmi. Who is the speaker? The speaker is the Ribbono Shel Olam. He is speaking to Klal Yisrael. This, in the second parish of Ayoki Yiviyacha, that is a continuation. It's all one long conversation that the father is having with his child. My child, you want to know what's going on about Judaism? Let me tell you about Judaism. We were once slaves in Egypt. Hashem took us out of Egypt. And because therefore we have an obligation to serve him, and we commemorate this once a year on Pesach, and we eat matzah, and we have Karm Pesach, and we eat the Peterechem. And you know what else we do to commemorate this? We wear tefillin. That's what we do, and that's what you should be doing. It's the Father speaking. The whole mitzvah of tefillin is a mitzvah of the hemshech, of the Father connecting with his child. So therefore, no one's asking you to write your own pirat tefillin. Adrabah. By wearing your father's tefillin, it is you're connecting with your previous generation. You're connecting with the older the tefillin you have, the better they are. It's a completely different. Let me read you what it says over here. This is a very beautiful idea. He writes tefillin chadash madayin l'niskachkin. And he writes first of all, he says over here another tremendous chiddush. Another part of this, an incredible chiddush, is that old tefillin are more choshev than new tefillin. Because old tefillin have been used, they have more kedusha. Every time a person wears a pair of tefillin, he says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, he is injecting into that tefillin more kedusha. So if you buy a brand new pair of tefillin, you have a meter, a special tefillin kedusha meter. Okay, you go and you touch it, you take the meter, an electronic meter, and you touch the tefillin, and it lights up. How much kedusha does it have? Gives you a number, a scale of 1 to 1,000. A brand new pair of tefillin, 1. You take the tefillin of your grandfather, and you put the meter, it lights up 1,000. It has more kedusha. It's radioactive. Because every time a person says Shema Yisrael, every time a person does Davar Sheb B'Kedusha wearing the tefillin, he is investing, injecting in the tefillin more Kedusha. An old pair of tefillin has more Kedusha. So therefore, if you're coming to wear a pair of tefillin, what would you rather wear? You wear a brand new pair of tefillin, which has no Kedusha yet. It has to be broken in. Or would you want to wear an old pair of tefillin, which already has experience, already has been invested with sanctity, and that will rub off on you? That's one element. Another element is it connects you to your past. The whole mitzvah of tefillin is a mitzvah of Vigadta Levincha Bayom HaHuleimar. You're connecting to your father. Memela, if you wear your father's tefillin, it's even more meaningful. Oh, if that's the case, let me read you some of these words over here. V'yesh lahoyer sh'af al p'yish mitzvah k'sivah sefer Torah. He writes this incredible thing. Even when it comes to a sefer Torah, it says, V'gmar m'sach l'sanhedrin, sh'am mitzvah kol echa v'yecha m'yishol l'chtev sefer Torah. Everyone should write his own sefer Torah. I'll read you the words, af al p'yish shehi niyech loy avoysav l'adam sefer Torah. Mitzvah l'chtev m'sheloy. Who cares? You have a whole Aron Kodesh full of sefer Torah. Who cares? Write your own sefer Torah. Shenemar, v'ata kisru lochem es ashir azayis, v'chein nifzak v'shulchan aruch, shayni hi mitzvahs tefillin, shemitzvahs tefillin yesh mailo, lehoniach tefillin yeshonim daiko, old tefillin, v'bnei sheyesh v'chem yoyser kedusha mitfilm chadoshim, and I'm adding to this, he really goes on, that's the next paragraph, and you connect, and he brings a Yerushalmi. He brings a beautiful Yerushalmi over here. V'loi, he writes over here, Kidi Isa b'mesech le'erevin, Hillel ha'zokein oimer, Tfilin elu me'avi imohein. He took pride that the tefillin that I'm wearing is from my grandfather. Okay, I told you, that's how we started with. I told you, I started with that. I give a very long hakdama to this, that I, with personal experience, personal story, I told you this concept is that Adrabah, you should wear the tefillin of your grandfather, great grandfather, is theoretical, is in concept. Practical halacha, no such thing. Today, a bar mitzvah boy, if a person can afford, you buy brand new. That's the way we live today, because as you said today, tefillin get worn out. And they get wore down, and you don't want to take any chances. And all the boys in this class have new tefillin. You're not going to go make him into make these. He doesn't appreciate what it means, the tefillin of his grandfather. Today, okay. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The tefillin, they get worn out. You want to buy a bar mitzvah boy today. This is the way the world works. And you have to always differentiate between halacha lemaisa, and which includes practical halacha versus concepts, theoretical concepts in hashkafa. A bar mitzvah boy today, if the parents could afford, deserves a brand new, fresh, hot off the press pair of tefillin. Just like a bar mitzvah boy will come to shul, the parents will buy a new suit. They're not going to go take an old shmata suit that they found somewhere. They're going to buy for the bar mitzvah boy a nice, brand new suit. They're not going to go to the closet and find some old suit and send to the cleaners and fix it up. They're going to buy for the bar mitzvah boy a new, fresh suit with the latest style and have a little feather in the hat and a small brim and have a little blue in the black. You know how it goes today, and have special color socks and no belt or tight-fitting pants. Okay, you buy new, fresh tefillin. The way it works today is if a parent's going to be, you buy new and fresh. That's practical halacha. However, in concept, that's not the way it goes. In concept, it would be the biggest covet for the child for him to wear the tefillin of his grandfather. Because the whole mahus of tefillin is give him something which already has, you've already invested kedusha. It is a high kedusha level. And number two, the mahus of tefillin is to connect to the past. To a sefer Torah? No. You can have a whole Aron Kodesh full of sefer Torah from your family, new, in concept, in halacha. You have to do something for yourself. writing a new Sefer Torah is the same chalkeinu b'sarasach. Okay, Bisham, tomorrow we're going to continue. There's a lot more geshmaka things here in the Sefer about tefillin.